And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Welcome to First Amendment Friday, folks. This is the day when we spend most of our time trying to take your calls. And by the way, any subject that we brought up this week or any other subject, maybe something we haven't gotten to that you thought we should have, is open and available to for discussion. The number is 888-589-8840. Give me a couple of minutes here to get some housekeeping things out of the way. And by sometime in the second segment, we should be able to get your calls. Any of you who are listening right now and you hung on till the end of the program, I wasn't able to get you on, be sure to call in because I would like to get you on. But first, I want to remind you that on September the 15th at Rockfish Church, 9949 Fayetteville Road in Rayford, North Carolina, we're going to have a town hall meeting. We, meaning AFA, is going to have a town hall meeting. And it's going to be a tremendous event. You can go find out more about it at afa.net/events. Among the speakers will be Abraham Hamilton III, Walker Wildman, Alex McFarland, and a number of others. So make sure you get there. If you're anywhere in the area, make sure you get there. Speaking, by the way, of North Carolina, thanks to all the North Carolina folks who support this network and support our radio program. Thank you all so very, very much. Of course, I'm right near the border of North Carolina. In fact, I'll be in North Carolina two or three times before the election is over, down there helping some of my friends because, as you all know, North Carolina has been undergoing some changes, kind of like Virginia. We Southerners are finding ourselves encroached upon by some carpetbaggers. And I mean that affectionately, folks, you know. Because, look, there are a lot of people who come to the South from the North. I'm one of them who are completely comfortable with the Christian Southern values of our states and communities. But there are people who move into the area with a view toward altering our values and changing our culture here in the South. And, of course, we in Virginia have faced some of that. Some of that is coming, of course, from indigenous people who are right here, like our governor. I mean, he's Southern born and bred, but somewhere along the way, he lost his way, and he is just really a piece of work. But that aside, North Carolina is facing some of those same pressures, and we just want to encourage you North Carolinians, get out and vote your Christian values, vote your cultural values. Don't allow these leftists, these socialists, these Marxists to come in and take over and turn your state upside down. You know, I don't really like the expression they'd be turning over in their grave because I really believe our founding fathers are by and large in heaven. So I think they're looking over if they can see what's going on or have any knowledge of what's going on. They're looking out the portals of heaven, looking over the balcony of heaven, shaking their heads in some cases. And in Virginia, I just have to believe that George Washington and Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson are looking at the governor of Virginia today and shaking their heads and going, how in the world did they elect that guy? I mean, how in the world did that ever happen? Well, I'm shaking my head too. How in the world did we ever let that happen? I hope, since we only have one term for governor here in Virginia, I hope that doesn't last very long. But again, that's Rockfish Church, 9949 Fayetteville Road, Rayford, North Carolina. Get down there September the 15th, and you can learn more about it. Go to afa.net/events, afa.net/events, or afa.net/rockfish. Either way, we'll get you there, and you'll find out more about that great event that we've got coming up on September the 15th. But I said, speaking of North Carolina, you know, a really inspiring story. Here again, one of these things that kind of gets you going, but inspiring. This food line employee in North Carolina was told by a manager there that his wearing the flag as a mask or wearing a mask that was designed with the red, white, and blue. I wear one myself. I've got a couple of masks that are patriotic. That was offensive to someone on the job and that he could no longer wear that. Now, my understanding is that they've got veterans parking spaces in their parking lot, and those veterans parking spaces have American flags on them, so that employee should have been told, go out there and take a look. Do those offend you too? Or is it just someone wearing it on their face that offends you? But they were apparently offended by the flag itself. Not the fact that the person was wearing it on their face, but they were offended by the flag itself. And the veteran, God bless his heart, Air Force veteran Gary Dean said, well, if I have to take the flag off, I quit. And he quit and left. God bless him for showing that kind of courage. Because I think one of the things that's going to change our culture back to what it ought to be is if we just take an uncompromising stand. Now, I don't know whether Gary Dean is a retired veteran. Not sure about that, but obviously I'm sure he needed the income or he wouldn't have been working there. But nevertheless, he gave that income up and said, I'm not going to stay at a place that tells me that I've got to stop wearing the American flag because somebody's offended. Now, that person who was offended, you just don't you wonder what is wrong with people? This is where it comes up again. Why don't you just leave? I mean, why do you stay here? If the very vision of the flag upsets you that much, why don't you just go? Why are you working at an American company? Why are you living in an American city? Why are you staying in America at all? Just leave. I mean, it would just be so simple to go someplace that has a flag you like. Or a country that you like, and therefore you can honor their flag. You know, this stuff has really gotten insidious, where you've now got people being told, and by the way, I have no use for Food Lion. Food Lion should have told that person, if you are offended by the flag, you maybe need to consider whether you want to work here, because we got flags out on our veterans' parking spaces. And the flag represents our entire country. There's nothing political. There's nothing wrong about. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, when companies say we will not allow any garb, anything with a message on it, anything that is political in nature, their policy should say the flag is exempted because the flag is not political. The flag does not represent Democrats or Republicans, even though I think sometimes Democrats think that it does represent Republicans because they've gotten to a point where they don't like it, where a lot of the people in their circles like to burn it and put it on a guillotine. That's something that they need to deal with. But nevertheless, the flag is not Democrat. It's not Republican. It's not political. The flag represents the entire country. And they ought to exempt it and say that anybody can wear anything with a flag insignia on it because that represents our entire country. It's a unifying symbol. We don't have any problem with that being shown here at the workplace. But you cannot wear you cannot wear a statement, I support Donald Trump, I support Joe Biden. They could say that's divisive. We may have people on both sides of that issue, and we don't want that coming into the workplace. But the flag is divisive. So God bless you. God bless you, brother, and thank you for your service to our country, and thank you for taking a stand for our flag while we've got a bunch of idiots around the country who think that disrespecting it and burning it and putting it on a guillotine and kneeling instead of standing for it is somehow courageous. No, it's foolishness. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Professor Paul Kenger has a new book on the devil and Karl Marx that reminds us how much Marx hated God and Christianity. In his book and on my radio program, he cited Marx in many of the biographies that showed how scary he was. His own family and friends were frightened by his demonic fits of rage and his bizarre focus on violence. Marx wrote, "When our turn comes, we shall make no excuses for the terror. There is only one way in which the murderous death agonies of the old society and the bloody birth throes of the new society can be shortened, simplified, and concentrated, and that way is revolutionary terror." In his book, and also in a recent column in the American Spectator, he also asked a relevant question. Why not cancel Karl Marx? His writings are filled with racist rants and anti-Jewish and anti-Semitic statements. Paul Kenger documents that Karl Marx was, after all, a bigot. His attitude towards blacks and Jews alone, not to mention women, would stun Stonewall Jackson. Ugly racial ethnic stereotypes by Marx are littered throughout his writings. If you want to find examples, I suggest you read the book or his column in the American Spectator. I simply cannot repeat some of the awful things that Karl Marx said about people of different races and ethnic backgrounds. You know, on university campus, today, we're told by students and professors to ignore those dead white European males that have given us Western culture. But isn't Karl Marx one of those dead white European males? Well, of course he is, but once again he gets a pass. Karl Marx should be canceled for his bigotry alone, but even more so for the fact that his writings provided the foundation for totalitarian regimes responsible for more than 100 million deaths in the 20th century. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of the booklet, A Biblical View on Pornography, go to viewpoints.info/pornography. That's viewpoints.info/pornography.
Hi, I'm John Sorensen, president of Evangelism Explosion, and this is Share Life Today on American Family Radio. Where has your focus been today? I mean, lately our world is pushing self-care, self-love, and putting your own self first. Now, I understand that you need to take time for yourself and to make health a priority, but let's keep the main thing the main thing. Well, what's the main thing for believers in Jesus? Well, I think my friend Francis Odoi, EE's Regional Director for East Africa, says it pretty well.
It is not about me. It is not about us. It is about Jesus. It is about God.
Our main focus, our number one priority, should always be Jesus. In a culture that's constantly changing, telling us to do one thing one day and the opposite the next, remember Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, "Let us keep looking to Jesus." You see, Jesus is ultimately in control anyway. So seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added. So how's that for self-care? If you want more tips, visit sharelife.today.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're coming to your calls in this segment. 888-589-8840 is the number. A couple of quick things. And by the way, think about this. If the flag and the Pledge of Allegiance are no longer unifying symbols and activities, what unifies us? What unifies us? Well, we've got people in the country who believe that we can't be unified because they don't like anything about America. And those are the people I would invite to just leave. This salon owner that Nancy Pelosi was caught traipsing around in without a mask says that it was not a setup, that Nancy Pelosi arranged that with her particular stylist against the rules in California right now, which have closed salons. But they did it anyway, and Nancy Pelosi is claiming she didn't know those were the rules. But she's been running around telling the rest of us that we've got to wear masks, and here she is caught in the salon without a mask on, in her robe or something, and oh, just having a good old time in the salon, getting the Marie Antoinette treatment. Let them eat cake, you know, or let the rest of them wear masks. The hypocrisy knows no bounds. Joe Biden made one of the of many dumb statements he's made. Folks, sometimes these leftists, they just, you just wonder. But he made this big thing about, and the way he said it, you know, out here in out there in liberal la-la land, he says, "Why in God's name don't we teach history in history classes?" Well, that's part of the problem. We don't. A black man invented a light bulb, not a white guy named Edison, okay? Well, first of all, that's not true. That's just not true. The fact of the matter is there's a gentleman, an American of African ancestry named Lewis Latimer, who apparently improved on the design of Thomas Edison. He did not invent the light bulb. He improved on the design. Now, why couldn't you use that as an opportunity to bring unity, as an opportunity to say, look, this is what's great about America. We all have something to offer. We all have something to contribute. But no. It's got to be nasty. It's got to be dismissive. And not some white guy named Edison. These people, folks, are really full of the devil. They really are. I mean, you could use, and by the way, if he wants to complain about not history not being taught, he needs to be complain about the fact that a bunch of lies and anti-American polemic is used against our founding fathers, against our institutions, like the Constitution's racist, the Declaration of Independence is racist, the founding fathers were racist. I mean, this is all we hear. So how about correcting that instead of this nonsense that he's using? And then they always want to say President Trump is divisive. You don't get any more divisive than these leftists. 1.3 million jobs added in August. Praise God. The president is getting what he said he was going to deliver, which is a V-shaped recovery. And folks, that's a lot of progress. Remember, we had 30 million people out of work to add 1.37, almost 1.4 million jobs in a month. That's astounding. So I'm so encouraged by that. Hope you are too. And look, anything you want to bring up that's come up this week, you all are hearing about them, a bunch of leftists who want to strip Washington, D.C. of the monuments that honor our founding fathers. And I'll tell you something, that I think when the time comes to take down the George Washington, the Washington Monument, I might be one of the people out there, laying down saying, oh, no, you don't. Because I love George Washington, because I really believe that George Washington was who God uses, the indispensable man to found this country. I really believe that without him, we might not have had the America that we have today. So I really honor and love George Washington. I'm looking forward to meeting George Washington in heaven and talking to him. I think he's one of the most interesting people that this country's ever produced. So when you get ready to tear down his monument, you might find me out there saying, no, you can't. Okay, 888-589-8840 is the number. Thank you all for your patience, but let's get to your calls. It is First Amendment Friday. I want to hear what you all have to say. So let's go to Carl. Carl in West Virginia. Carl, welcome.
Hello, Brother Jackson.
Hello, excuse Brother me. Carl.
I hope that Jesus will take the church out of here anytime, but I live as if he'll be several years. So I want to start thinking about the 2024 election. I used to write in Alan Keyes. Do you know who Dr. Keyes is?
Of course. I know Alan Keyes, sure.
I used to write him in. I voted for Trump because I found out how much the Republican Party hated him. So I'd like to see Alan Keyes back involved in 2024. But I'd also like, and I don't expect you to comment on this, but I'd like for you to start praying to put yourself on the ticket somewhere. Someday I'd like to see you as the vice, or as the president. So would you please pray about that, and I hope your listeners will pray about it also.
Well, Brother Carl, that is a very high compliment, and I do appreciate it very much. I know Alan Keyes. Alan Keyes is one of the most brilliant, articulate spokespersons for our values I've ever heard. Thank you so much for the call, Carl. I hope my wife didn't hear that suggestion, by the way. Let's go to Wendy in Virginia. Wendy, welcome.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Let me get you off speaker. Yeah. I can't seem to get it off speaker. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, Wendy. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I have two things that I wanted to bring up. One is about the election that we had here when Northern took office. When people went to the voting ballot, they didn't have ballots for people to vote. So they got turned away. So I wonder how legitimate him taking office was, because we don't know if those people that were turned away were Republicans are Democrats. And I can't believe that they have a small segment on the Channel 12 News saying, you know, oh, yeah, when people went to the voting ballots, you know, there weren't enough ballots because they sent the majority to the precinct that has the lowest number of turnout and vice versa. So I've been skeptical about that, and I wonder why nobody's brought that up and why no one has disputed that. I mean, if you're turning people away, people aren't getting their votes in, which means who really won?
And Well, Wendy, thank you for the call. I think that the reason why you're not hearing a lot about that is because of the margin. If the margin had been very close, then you'd probably had a lot of scrutiny of the election. But as you know, the margin was pretty wide. I mean, it really wasn't close at all. And I don't recall. During the break, I'll try to get the numbers. But that's the problem. The problem is, and look, by the way, I don't doubt for one second that the Democrats cheated. I don't doubt it for one second. I just don't think that controlled the outcome because the margin was so wide. But thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Wendy. And by the way, everybody, we need to be vigilant about these voting systems and how this is all going to operate, because I think so much is at stake that people without a moral compass will cheat if they can. And I would hope that doesn't include any of us, but for those who don't think the way we think, that integrity still matters, even if I have to lose, I'd rather lose with integrity than win by lying and cheating and stealing. But there are people who don't share those sensibilities, so we better have our eyes wide open. Let's see if we can get Joey in from Louisiana before we have to go to a break. Joey, welcome.
There are people who don't share those sensibilities.
Joey, I think you've got your telephone. You know what? I'll tell you what. We're going to have to come back to Joey. Joey, I'm going to put you on hold. And let's see. Do we have time to – let's see if we can get Richard of West Virginia in here. Richard, welcome. Richard, you're on.
Yes, sir.
All right, Richard.
Thank you for all you do. We really appreciate it. A couple points I've thought about is – you know, a few years ago in Ferguson, Missouri, we had a similar thing these cities are having now, where these out-of-state people come in and incite riots and violence, and they boogie out of town. And the people that are left behind find out that the businesses, if they did receive insurance payments, they're thinking in their mind, am I going to reinvest and maybe get burned out or looted out in the next couple of years, or I'm going to get out of Dodge? So the poor folks that are left behind sometimes have to go 7 or 8 blocks to find services and supplies and stuff. It puts them at a terrible advantage, and I'd think people would learn their lesson. The other thing is, these insurance companies, when they have to pay off after all these damages, I would think they would think about suing the local governments or state governments and say, you didn't provide me police protection, and now you want me to pay. I think you ought to pay. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah. Well, look, on your first point, but thanks for the call, Richard. On your first point, look, when Nancy Pelosi was caught without the mask on in the salon that's supposed to be closed according to California policy right now, one of the things that a lot of leftists said, well, this is not important. This is not an important issue. And I don't know why we're making so much of this issue, although every little thing that President Trump says, every little thing he says, every little thing he tweets, every little thing he does is a major issue. But this is a major issue because there are literally hundreds of thousands of small businesses that have been put on the brink of extinction. Some of them will close and will never reopen. Millions of people have lost their jobs. I mean, this has been a devastating situation, and you've got people out there like Joe Biden saying, if the scientists said so, we'd shut the economy down. We've shut the economy down, and look at what it's produced. Horror. And so it is an important issue, and I think that's the thing we got to keep in mind as the economy rebuilds. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn,
Don Weilman.
Who knows how much is at stake in the decisions we make every day? We decide to do something which seems so small, and it ends up shaping our whole life. I chose one day to become a Christian. I never realized when I made that choice how far-reaching the effects would be. It didn't seem to be such an earth-shaking choice at the time. I just looked at the options available as a way of life, and the Christian faith made more practical sense than any of the others. I'm old enough now to know that that decision was the wisest choice I ever made. Because of my Christian faith, I've been able to fit together the pieces of life's puzzle. I was in a big city recently, and while there, I watched the people who walked the streets. There were three young people who were cursing loud and clear, threatening to kill another person they knew if such and such a thing happened. I walked past the bars, and they were crowded. The music was loud, and the booze was flowing. Supposedly, the people who were there, they were there to have a good time. But you know something? That sure looked like a miserable way to have a good time. I spoke to a few people I met on the street. A few spoke back. Most ignored me. Some looked at me as if I was rather crazy for offering a smile. Every person is what he is because of the decisions he has made. Of course, each of us is influenced tremendously by others in the decisions we make. But in the final analysis, we do our own deciding. As I said before, we hardly ever realize the range of effects that our decisions will have on our life. We choose this or that. We go one way or another. And when we do, it brings us a certain kind of life. It is wise, as we travel along this road of life, for each of us to have a destination picked out where we wish to go. Then each immediate decision which we are called upon to make can be made in light of the destination for which we're traveling. Unless we do this, our immediate decisions can be totally unrelated and we'll not have any idea where we'll end up until we are already there. Each of us will have to go on making decisions, for this is a part of life. This process, decision-making process, it's a part of life. And after we make our decisions, then our decisions make us. Like I said, no one ever knows how far-reaching the effects of a decision will be. I made a decision one day to follow the way. It has affected my life more than any other decision I have ever made. And the longer I live, the happier I am that I did.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. We've got some lines open, folks, and we're taking your calls. This is First Amendment Friday. I want to hear what you've got to say. And I want to encourage you, by the way, if you don't agree with what you hear on this program or hear me say, by all means, call and voice that. Because we actually believe in the First Amendment. We actually believe that people who don't agree, I actually believe, and I know this network believes, that people who don't agree with us actually have a right to be heard, unlike the left. You know, because you don't agree with them, they want to shut you down. That's hate speech. So, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Kathy in North Carolina. Kathy, welcome.
Hello, Bishop.
Hi, Kathy.
Your show is just wonderful. Yes, I'm from North Carolina. I just want to make a couple comments. First one is when you said carpetbagger, I almost fell on the floor because I've been calling the sort of people that have been coming down here to take over North Carolina and turn it totally blue. I've been calling them carpetbaggers for years. So, yeah, I appreciate the comment.
All right.
And yeah, and I just wanted to comment on what they've been saying about President Trump of late, about how he has he come out in a private meeting with his administration and said, that the military was losers and the ones laying over in France that, you know, died to protect us and our freedoms in World War One were losers. And we just need to, you know, step up and stop the media some way from spreading these deceits and lies. And I am for the First Amendment. I have a shirt that says the Second Amendment protects the first. And so amen. I appreciate you, Bishop, and appreciate you taking my call, and I'll let you go. Thank you very much.
Kathy, thank you so much for the call. Let me just say, I don't believe that report for a moment. Not for a moment. I believe that the media will tell any lie they think they can tell to try to undermine the president and his supporters and undermine the support that he has. And this president, in my view, has demonstrated nothing but love for the military in every possible way. And what they're trying to do is remind everybody that, you know, he made an insulting comment toward John McCain about his service, which I thought was a mistake, by the way. But it was a personal spat between them. He was not making a broader comment about the military in general. He was making a comment about John McCain, who, you know, all of us, I think, while we didn't agree with him on policy, many of us did not agree with him on policy, we appreciated his service and respected that and honored him for that. But I think that was the thing between the president and John McCain. That was not the president expressing any broad view about the military, because he's made clear in everything he said and done since he became president that he has nothing but respect and honor for the military. You won't find this president using a dress blues Marine to hold an umbrella over his head like he's somebody's butler. We got that from the last president. I'll never forget that image. And as a Marine Corps veteran, I resented it. I resented it. You don't go through Paris Island and advanced infantry training and prepare to go to combat so you can hold an umbrella over some politician's head. I don't care if he is the president. I mean, he can have an assistant to do that. That's not what the Marine Corps is trained to do. But leaving that aside, as you can see, that's something that I still feel very strongly about. But no, this president has nothing but respect for the military. Okay, let's go back to, because Joey, we came to you, and I think you had a little radio problem there, but let's give you a second chance. Joey from Louisiana. Joey, yes. Welcome.
Joe, I'm sorry about the problem. I do know the rules. I have no excuse.
That's okay.
It's nice talking to you, and I'm a longtime listener. I don't recall anything I've disagreed with you about, and I think there's a reason why you have this platform at this point in time. Thank God for you. But I have a question, and you're up for anything today, so here's my question. At the beginning of the show, when you're announced ex-Marine and all that, the first thing you say is, "And I am he." Does that have any reference to Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well?
No. 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 No, it does not. You know what it is? It's just proper English. You know, it's just, I mean, that's all. It's just my little thing. It's just proper English. So, no, it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus when he says, I that speak unto you am he. And by the way, I don't know how that would actually sound in the Greek language in which it was originally written. But no, it's just a little homage to proper English. That's all it is, Joey. I bow to Jesus, worship Jesus, love Jesus. Brother, I know I am in no way Jesus. So no. No, Joey. But listen, but that's an interesting, nobody's ever asked me the question about why I opened the program that way, because obviously I don't introduce myself. The announcer does that, and I just say, and I am he. I just come in that way. You know, actually, I answer the phone in a similar way when people say, well, is this E.W. Jackson or is this Bishop Jackson? I say, this is he. So, okay, nothing more to it than that. So it's become kind of a signature style. Hey, Joey, thank you for the call. Call me back again, because I'm sure you got other questions and comments that you'd like to make aside from how I begin the program. Okay, let's go to Jesse in Tennessee. Jesse, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Thank you so much for taking the call, and thank you for everything you do. And your service, I just want to thank you. what my question is, I listened to you the other day discuss about Oprah Winfrey and how she's just lost. She can be brilliant and earn money, but she's lost.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, with Black Lives Matter and all these outrageous comments coming out saying that, you know, we're systemically racist, that's just a plain lie. It's a slanderous lie. And I thought, is there a movement or is there a way we could possibly do a class action lawsuit? Because it creates a dangerous narrative against, Caucasians.
Well, and look, I think a dangerous environment in the country, because it really does seek to divide us. Let me try to answer this quickly, Jesse, as a lawyer. A class action lawsuit requires a specific and identifiable class that can demonstrate tangible damage as a result of some action done by a specific and identifiable entity. Now, you can say, well, Black Lives Matter is a specific and identifiable entity, but I think you probably realize that technically there's no incorporated entity or institution called Black Lives Matter. And I mean, I think that's intentional. They don't even collect money. They collect money through some other entity. The other problem is, what would be the damage? Well, it's not damage to have nasty things said about you unless you can show that it's hurt your job or hurt you or gotten you physically hurt, or you've got to show some kind of tangible damage. But that aside, so legally, I don't think we're there yet. I think if you had an organization that was actually going out doing specific harm to people based on race, I think you might get, you're probably getting closer to class action. But let me just add this. We've started something, my organization, Stand, has started something called the All Lives Matter Movement. I think the best way to answer this is to come up with a unifying approach to this and say, look, yes, if a police officer acts outside the bounds of law, certainly we don't agree with that. We didn't agree with what happened to George Floyd. But you've got thousands of young people dying in the streets of our cities. Do their lives matter? You've got millions of children being aborted of all races. Do their lives matter? Disproportionately, by the way, Black babies. Do their lives matter? We've got young guys of European ancestry. You all know this, that there's an epidemic of suicide among young white guys these days. What's going on there? Do their lives matter? We've got fentanyl overdoses to the tune of 60,000 every year, mainly among our young people. Do their lives matter? We need a unifying approach to these problems that we face in our society. And we also need to debunk the myth that police are out hunting down Black men. It just ain't so, folks. Now, that's different than I am he. It just ain't so. Okay. It's just not so. What is killing young Black men is murder in the streets of our inner city. So I think that's a better way to go. And if you want to learn more about that, we're just getting that launch. If you want to learn more about that, email me at ewj@standamerica.us. We'll tell you about it and get you involved if you'd like to get involved in that. Let's see. I think we got time for at least one more call before the break. So let's see. Oh, maybe I guess we don't. I guess we don't. But stand by. When I come back, Pete, I'm coming to you and as many of you as I can get in before the program ends. So just be patient and we're coming to you. Back in a moment.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
Did you know that over 18 million babies have been aborted worldwide since January 1st? Every single one of these babies died during the COVID-19 pandemic. Why isn't the world declaring these babies as lost? Here's Dan Steiner, the president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to saving babies' lives from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
Preborn clinics are the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. Join Preborn in showing that these babies' lives are not forgotten. One ultrasound is $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
I want our family to be champions. Starting with you and I.
Mike Singletary on Focus on the Family Minute.
I want us to have a championship marriage. And I want our kids to grow. And as they grow and they leave our home, that, you know, we have given them the tools that they need to be successful in life. And I said, we're going to sit around the table and we're going to hammer this out. And so what do we want this family to be? We're going to be honest with each other. That's a good one. And, you know, we want to be able to depend on each other. We want to respect each other's privacy. We want to respect each other's feelings. So, you know, those are the kind of things that we came up with, and that became our vision statement. And so I had it printed out and up in on the walls in our home.
More from Mike at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And by the way, folks, the Atlantic is nothing but a leftist rag. And reporting that the president called veterans losers by this propaganda rag is beneath contempt. And I've noticed, by the way, that the media is treating it as if it's fact, even though it's all anonymous sources, nobody willing to be identified. So this is really what the president has dubbed fake news. And unfortunately, Joe Biden and other candidates for office are going to buy into it. But you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Wouldn't it be great if you had someone say, look, I would not want a report about myself based upon anonymous sources, and I am not going to buy into or give credence to a report based on anonymous sources against my opponent because I wouldn't want it done to me. Next question. Bob, wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't you think, you know, I may not agree with this guy on most issues, but I respect that. I respect that kind of integrity. But they don't have any. So there's nothing there to respect other than the fact that they're human beings whom God loves. But in terms of their conduct, in terms of their behavior, in terms of their attitude toward the country. I mean, Joe Biden, the light bulb wasn't even invented by some white guy named Edison. It was invented by a black man. I mean, you know, here again, it's not even true, number one. But number two, to pander like that and to propound really the narrative of the far left, which is America's not legitimate. Everything we think we've accomplished in one way or another is stolen. We're an illegitimate country with illegitimate progress that we've made because we've made it by stealing and exploiting and using and abusing and enslaving others. That's the narrative he's trying to feed into. Why would I want anybody who thinks that way about my country to lead it? The media is just, they're gone. They're really, really, the mainstream media, they're just gone. They really are. I mean, they're useless. I don't even pay any attention to stuff that they report anymore. I look for my own sources, folks. Let's go to, you've been very patient, too. Let's go to Pete in Tennessee. Pete, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, hi, Pete.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and... Even though
we agree on most things, Bishop Jackson. I have to point out that I'm Christian, so therefore I am a socialist. Christ said, give away everything and follow me. Love people above things. So we need to stop saying socialism is a bad thing, because that's what Jesus Christ was, a socialist to me.
Okay, well, Pete, let me just disabuse you of that notion. Here's the first reason why that analysis is incorrect. It's incorrect because it is one thing, Pete, if you or I say, I'm going to give away everything I have. God bless you. You trust God to take care of you. Go to it. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He did not say that the government has the right to take what you've got and redistribute it for your good and the good of others as it sees fit. Because the fact of the matter is, that's theft. And you don't, that it would be the same thing if I said to you, well, Pete, you know, you've earned $1,000 this week, and that is really great. Let me pat you on the back. Now, I'm going to take this, Pete, because for your own good and for the good of those around you, I'm going to distribute this to the people who really need it. You have a right to say to me, well, no, you're not going to take it, you know. And you can say, I'm going to give it away, but you're not touching my money. And that's why Jesus was not a socialist. The Bible says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. It doesn't say, if any would not work, the rest of you work and give to the one who won't work, because after all, that's only fair. So, no, Jesus was not a socialist, Pete, but God bless you. And I'm glad you agree with me on most things. Maybe after this, you'll agree with me on that as well. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mary of Texas. Mary, welcome.
Hi, I just want to tell you I look forward to listening to you and Brother Hamilton. It's just a blessing to hear people for us as Americans. And I just want to say that, you know, I was raised in the military as a military brat, what they called us, and I have family that's in the military, and they fight for our freedom. And to see somebody dishonor the flag, I mean, like you said, it's not a Democratic flag. It's not a Republican flag. It is an American flag. And I remember back in 76, which is showing my age, there was a saying, America, love it or leave it.
I remember that.
So I don't know where that went after these so many years. But, you know, the military is when the police are not there for them, they're going to call in the military. Well, the military stands for that flag. I remember being at 5 o'clock on a military base, and you stopped your car as the cadence was being blown and the flag was there. You know, I love America, and I'm staying here, and we are for those that come, you know, like our liberty, our Statue of Liberty says, come those. Not to change us. We welcome you to. We embrace you, but not to change us.
Right.
And that's all I have to say. And thank you for you and Brother Hamilton's radio show. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mary. Right. Not to, we invite you to come legally, not to change us, not to overthrow us, not to fundamentally transform us, but to become part of the great American experiment in personal liberty and to take advantage of the opportunities. Folks, this gives me a chance to say something I have not mentioned, but a very, very dear friend of mine passed away a couple days ago. He arrived here at 5 years old as a poor immigrant. His family settled in East Boston, and when he became a young man, he went off, served in World War One, served during World War One, and I'm sorry, not during World War One, served during World War Two. And came back, started a little pizza shop, just him and his wife, just working 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 hours a day, making pizzas. And 3 decades later, they had 200 stores all over New England. And that poor little immigrant boy had become a very wealthy man, a successful businessman. That's America, folks. That's what happens in our country. And that's made possible because people like him love this country enough to take their responsibility for their chance to use the opportunities that are given to us here, to use the chance to go to the highest place your God-given gifts and potential will take you. And this leftist division and hatred for our country and hatred for the flag and this vilification of people based on race, this is not a pathway that takes us that takes us to a bright future. It's got to stop. It's simply got to stop, or our country will self-destruct. If we follow the left, our country will self-destruct. You're right, Mary. I love this country. I put on a Marine Corps uniform, thought I was going to have to fight in Vietnam for this country and against communism, and I was prepared to do so. Thank God I didn't have to, but some of my friends and colleagues did and are suffering from this day. And to dishonor that flag, as far as I'm concerned, is to dishonor them, to dishonor our country, and dishonor every sacrifice that's been made to make this country what it is and the nation that we enjoy today. And I'm simply not having it. I'm not going along with it in any way. So God bless you for that. Oh, well, let's see. Let's see if we can get at least a couple more of you in. Let's see who's been waiting the longest here. Let's go to Bernice in Mississippi. Bernice, welcome. Bernice, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, Bernice, there you go. Hi, Bernice.
I have a question. I just need something to ask you about.
Sure.
I've already started.
Okay, Bernice, you're fading on me. We're running out of time, so you got to get your question in.
Listen, if Joe Biden, I just wanted to ask you something, runs and gets elected to, and Kamala Harris will be the vice president, I have a feeling they're pushing it that way, and Joe Biden will be the president for maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Then Kamala will. Well, vice president's already got Biden's already got president's pay, so he'll get that the rest of his life. Well, Kamala Harris will get up there, and who's going to be the vice president? Pelosi is, isn't she? I have not heard anybody say a thing in the world about.
Yeah.
He dies and jumps up, and Pelosi will get the...
Okay, Bernice, thank you. We're running out of time, but we got the point. Listen, Kamala Harris would be in a position to appoint the vice president, and talk about a nightmare scenario. There's another one. Let's go to George in Florida. George, welcome.
Yes, hi, Bishop Jackson. This is George from Deltona, Florida. You know, I want to ask a question. How come a church in California is getting charged $5,000 of summons, of fines for meeting and singing, but yet Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Planned Parenthood, and all those left-wing groups are being left alone? That's not right. That's injustice. And I think we Christians ought to stand up for our brethren in California.
Amen, George. I couldn't agree with you more. You are absolutely right, but let's face it, as I said earlier, the left, they've rejected absolute truth and values, and therefore they know nothing about integrity and honor. They just don't. Because if they did, they would say, look, the standards we hold others to, we need to hold ourselves to. You know, and they just don't know anything about this. That's why when we have our share-a-thon, for example, I always give, because I don't feel right asking you all to give, and then I don't give. I mean, but the left, they don't have those kinds of compunctions, folks. So you just keep the values that God gave you, and you stay intact, because ultimately we're all going to stand before Him to give an account one day. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.